Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. There we go. Now I'm working. At least I think I am. Yep, I am working. Anyway, welcome to Personal Transformation. My name is Stuart Thompson, and again, I apologize. I'm still having technical difficulties. Every time I turn around, I'm having something going on. Just please remember that I'm a one-man show, and I am doing the best I can, and I do have some new equipment now, so hopefully that will help a little bit. And plus, what I was working with, well, wasn't working like it was supposed to, so I'm somewhat technically savvy, but sometimes I begin to wonder about that. But anyway, I'm here, and it looks like I'm still broadcasting. I'm trying to monitor from both from my phone and from my laptop, and I seem to be getting out. So hopefully I am. I guess I'll find out when I'm done. Okay. So basically, what I'm going to be talking about, like I was saying, sexuality. That's what we were talking about last week, and so I'm going to rehash that over again. I'm also going to talk about what Dev and I were talking about this week as well, and meaning what we did is we showed basically a documentary about from Dr. Schwartz, Jeffrey Schwartz, that is, You Are Not Your Brain, and that was an interesting topic about that as well, because basically what we're talking about is basically in a little deeper thought process is we're talking about neuroplasticity and how our brain is hardwired from post-traumatic stress or from trauma experienced in the past. And we talked about that as well. After we actually watched the whole video, it was about 29. But anyway, so we watched Dr. Schwartz, and we had lots of discussion about that. So what I'm going to do now is I do want to go back, and I'm also going to. See, I'm listening to myself before, so I am working. But anyway, so what I'm going to do, I just have to unplug myself. I can't hear myself talk at the same time, and because I know it's a delay from when I hear myself on the phone. It's different from what I'm talking here, so I'm just going to get more confused than I already am. But I do know I'm working because I know I hear myself through my stupid phone, and that's a good thing. And I got another little device here in front of me, which tells me my microphone is working, so I know I'm getting out. So thank God I'm here. I'm working. So like I say, I'm even going to read the piece about sexuality piece from Matthew Eden. And I really apologize, Matthew. If you get to listen to this later on today or tomorrow, I really apologize for my technical difficulties, but I did not do you justice as you deserve. You have beautiful writing, and I really admire your courage for what you're doing, and especially in your blog. And I don't know. I find it inspiring. I struggle deeply with writing. I've done some stuff. I've even written a blog, which I haven't even released yet. And I want to do it so badly, but I just, I do a better job at speaking than I do writing. And, I'll leave it at that for now. But anyway, I want to get back to what we're talking about. And we're talking about Matthew and how deeply I appreciate his writing, his blog, and, so basically, I would like to read that again for him, in his honor, because I really, really, really appreciate it. And the sexuality topic is a very, very huge topic. I know that when we do groups here at the Gatehouse, it is always a huge topic. And I know for a long time, what we did is it wasn't in the program we were doing. And we had to put it back because was always a topic that it would always come up. I mean, one of the biggest things we go through, as survivors go through, is when we lose our identity, we lose our sexuality, depending on where you're coming from. Now, I won't get into specifics on who or how or what you were, how you were abused or violated, but all I know is it affects us in many, many different ways, and it makes it awful confusing. It makes it awful confusing on how to and how we are and how we are to react. And just like what I mean by react, I'm talking about like in a relationship, and I'm talking about whether you're straight or gay. It doesn't really matter, but it does affect us in many, many different ways. It's kind of like it's like, okay, I'm back. I lost connection there. I'm working again. I lost there for a second. Okay, so basically what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to make this work again. Okay, so I'm talking about Matthew Eden, and I'm going to dig this out right now because I do want to read this. And I do apologize for the troubles that I'm having. Still, apparently. But okay. So, oh, this is very frustrating. And here we go. Okay. So, I am not sex, and you can too. This is by Matthew Eden. You can find him at... where are we here? At www.matthewetonwriter.com. I am not sex, and you can too. So, here we go. A day without sex is like a day without sunshine. It is a good thing my heart is fogged with evil. And if you look on the website, you'll see this. You see a photo there of the sunset, rather the sun in the sky, and you will definitely see what. Anyway, you got to look into going to the webpage. And okay, here we go. Okay, I have not had sex in 13 years by choice. You might believe this to be a bit extreme. Get over it and get on the saddle, you'd say. You're really missing out on something wonderful. I am a survivor. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So my response to you is this. It is an angry one with hurt, sadness, and mixed with it. And mixed in with it is one of the few people think about when they engage in the act. Yet it causes so much pain and suffering that it should be ignored. Sex is a weapon, or at least it used to be used as a weapon against me. Sex isn't about life-threatening or other than STD or you can pick up, but it easily destroy a human mind and tamper with the body image. For the assaulter, it is a moment of sheer pleasure and perhaps power, reaching near addiction levels. For the assault, it is one horrible moment that devastates the trust and keeps them locked up in a shelf for an eternity. All for that one moment. I am not sex, and here's why. It is in my confirmation, bias-filled mind, sex is often used as a weapon. I read where someone left a five-month relationship because their partner did not put out. I know some people who have tallies on the amount of women they have slept with and hold parties where I reach certain threshold. I've even been on one of those parties, and I can tell you it wasn't something I was proud to attend. This type of sex offends me. Orish males thumping their mates with their members and grunting like savages in a moment like this. Not at all sex is rape. You might believe my previous section stands on the claim that all sex is rape, and no one can ever have it than some twisted version of the Demolition Man. Actually, sex is fine. It is part of the human condition and culture. It is also the way of the population is increased, even to the cornerstone of all marriages. Sorry, faith-based beliefs, the sex is too good. What most sex breaks down is to need for trust and a deeper connection with the other partner and yourself. Great partners build trust with their actions for long-term relationships based on it. This is more about the hole-filled pocket lack of most people feel when they don't have sex for a certain period of, or they can't add to the personal body count they tally for best post. This is for those people who believe that sexuality is the only means of to humanity. We forget that we are humans having experience, and we have caught in a lazy thinking, believing that the experience has to last forever and better. The laws of diminishing returns proves sexual escapes are indeed a harm and causing loop. Throw upon the pile of genetic difficulties monogamy, and you will have a member of thumping orgies at your desktop. Okay, if you have read the book Sex at Dawn, you'll know that where I'm going with this. Humans are not designed, evolved to be monogamous. The body and the mind are capable of being in one relationship for an entire life. In fact, the only species meant to be in a lifelong relationship are animals. We might be in the same as the same genes, but we are truly different when it comes to sex. The different bleeds there are how sex is used as a weapon. Shame for those who don't have enough, like me. Shame for those who don't put out, and a shame for those who are damaged by the act. It isn't their fault they were violated your trust. It is your fault you were so insensitive to let one person hurt you. Just get over it. Accept that there is a fault for hurting you. It is their fault for violating your trust. It is their fault for breaking you. This is used as a sex weapon, and your spirit was a murder victim. Since we get caught up in the reality loop, we often believe that we are the only person on the planet. I'll get it mine first, and if you're lucky, you might get what you want. We feed into isolation with advertisements based on the raw sexuality and performance of issues or enhancements. We insert fear in our persons by valuing the conquest and mentally instead of the vulnerable mindset. In other words, we've locked up ourselves into the ego tower and hope someone notices how awesome we just based our perceptions is not our actions. This is why the race, sex, genealistic logic still pervades to this day. We have towers we have to protect. We have egos we must feed. We let anyone undermine our image because we lose everything. The population will shun us, the sun will implode, and reality serves will reset. It is sad, lonely that the creatures, it is a sad, lonely life that creates more victims than it does create champions. It was a sad existence and used as a sexist weapon against me, and it broke me of the sexual habit over a decade. If you want to be honest, it hampered my sexuality over two decades with a handful of sexual encounters I had. I'm not sex, and that's okay with me. My grandfather molested me twice when I was 7 and then again when I was 13. Excuse me. The second one damaged me more because of the shame I associated with it as well as the concepts of sexuality. I knew better. I would have, if I could have spoken up, but I didn't. I let him violate me again. It wasn't as graphic as the first time, but still inappropriate. It forced me to be more guarded and unwilling to open to a small portion of my life to anyone. The scared trust of sexual intercourse today is the idea of it is repulsive. The smell of sex is nauseating. I thought the act was more barbaric to me than most. When I do get the carnal thoughts, my masturbation time is quick and to the point, only to get rid of the urge instead of enjoying the act. If you ask me to list the needs of the highest and lowest sex, is 6 feet under. I'm a broken man, and I can admit it. knowing these things help me understand where I am and know and how I can be better as well as improve with my interactions with others. Ah, but there's always a darker side to the coin, isn't there? We as humans relate to each other via sexual compatibility. I can't even talk. via sexual compatibility. Sexually viability and the appearance of sex. Often, our conversations are dovetails into sex, even as a repulse as I am by sex. We'll have a smoldering, flirty chat with someone. However, in the back of my mind, the only thing I think is anything but sex. Sexual isolation and the pain I see in others. I will say being out of the sexuality loop gives me a clearer vision on what is really out there. In the advertising world, by muting my sexual drive and looking out the world for what it is, I often see exploitation of ego, fear running rampant through the wilderness. If you don't pick up a chick tonight, you have a small penis, your bros will shun you, the sun will implode, and you'll reset this simulation. We have an on-site program for $8,000 that would give you a better chance of not making the sun implode. If you aren't conquering your fears and making your account to look like a phone number, no one in your right mind will have sex with you. Your bros will shun you, the sun will implode, and you'll reset your simulation. We'll have a traveling conference for such occasion, and it will only cost you $1,500 for a one-day ticket, not including travel, room, and board. If you don't find this particular type of body or sex attractive, you're probably either homosexual or you are dead inside, and obviously need to kill yourself or the sun will implode so the reality serves can reset. Only real people want more and need more to make themselves feel more, All of these moments are preying on fear. You fear, my fear. They want us to feel something and give them money. For those of us males who don't give them money, we accept their idea for what they are. Don't know us, they don't know us from the hole from a bum begging to wash our windshield, but we accept their validation anyway because they have all the chicks and have all the money. You wouldn't allow a normal stranger to tell you that you're. That you are a sexual orgy, so why let someone with money tell you the very same thing? So why build this story in our mind, use confirmation, we are terrible sex, we don't like the same sexual things, we need more sex, only one more person, only one more conquest, even if they aren't willing, or they are willing, even if they aren't willing or they are a child. It totally will fix the problem. I need their soul to make mine better. This is where it gets dicey. We males are fragile critters. We use our innate strength and willpower to overcome many things. But this is where we often fail. Life is more than sex. Yet, we tie our lives with it so much that we feel worse off about it that are flaws. They become overinflated, larger than life, and uneasy to maintain or control. What does it mean for me? Counseling, if I wanted, forming a deep bond and moving from the past, past fears, what I say is when it comes to conversation and not taking them over the line. What does it mean for you? It's okay not to want sex. It's far better to address your fears, inadequacies, and impulses. Nothing outside of you can fix. No internet marketing course, no magic bullet, no drinking blood of innocent, none of it. You have to accept that you are broken and then try to fix it if you wish. For those of you who were broken, both males and females, you can want sex later when you can trust again or if you believe this one is the one. But also remember, there is no the one. In our genetics, we're limited to our beliefs. To just one solution. Those solutions never arrive. Instead, they hide from your from you until you're ready to move to your from your notion of one solution for one problem. For these, you you tried, or your broken partners, for you not putting out or not grasping the idea of me first and you maybe later. Shame on you for doing so. You are transferring your fears onto an innocent person who is looking to give you something more valuable than your sex. They want you to give their trust. This is a valuable treasure, not simple child drawing you hang on the refrigerator. Remember, beauty and sex fades, but commonality and bonds remain. And this includes trust. So, okay, let me see. Did I get that all? There we go. Okay, so basically, if you go on the website and leave your comments, Matthew would greatly appreciate that. So Matthew's at www.MatthewEatonWriter.com. And this article that I just read from him, or this blog post I just wrote, or rather I just read to you, you can go and check it out yourself amongst other blogs that he's put out as well. So anyway, I don't know. I hope you got something out of that or can basically relate to that in some way or fashion. And see if I got everything here, and I hope I didn't. Oh yeah, I got everything here. Anything else? Oh yes. And anyway, so thank you, Matthew. That's great. I really appreciate that. And I think what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to read another one of your blogs. Like I said, I really do enjoy your writing, and I love your honesty, and I find that's fantastic. So forgive me if I sound a little bit bewildered here, because I'm trying to do a couple things at the same time, multitasking. And my writing, rather my reading at that wasn't superb as I would have liked. But nevertheless, I hope you got what I'm trying to say. And again, thank you, Matthew. Okay, so now on to what I'm talking about, to what we're talking about. We were talking about sexuality in our group last week. And it was interesting on how it, well, some of the comments that were made anyway, throughout the group. And I'm just happy that it worked out all right. So, sexuality. More about that. Yeah, I wish Deb was here right now. That would be really nice, because especially having insight from both sides. I guess the important thing is I seem to be still working here. I'm not disconnected. Did disconnect on me once as I was started here, but I've stayed on. Allow me to read that in regards to Matthew, which I'm going to post on here right now as I'm talking at the same time. So last week, let's see here. Yeah, so last week, we were talking about sexuality. And I know that what I read to you from Matthew, I can relate to in a lot of ways, because being violated as I was on both sides, it certainly set a lot of confusion into me. And I know how it affected me, and I can certainly appreciate what Matthew was saying about what his grandfather done to him. And granted, when I was violated, it was never by a family member, but by different sorts of people, and never mind being spread out over a period of time. But nonetheless, it affected me greatly. And when I talk about how it affected me, I'm talking about trust. Now, when I talk about trust, it's a big thing, really, really big thing. Meaning that, well, first off, let me point this out as well. It is very, I don't know how you'd say it. Well, when I talk about trust, now, I've talked about this many, many times before, where, you know, I talk about being hardwired, and you know, and beginning of my program, I talked about Dr. Schwartz, and I talked about neuroplasticity, and I talked about being hardwired. Well, that's a good example for me. As basically, I grew up with all those fears and how it stopped me from believing in something which really wasn't true, including my sexuality. That's where the trust comes in as well. So if I look at it now and think what I believed, it was so wrong. Like what I mean by wrong, it basically, led me on a path that which basically led me to, not being able to have a relationship with basically anybody, not just an intimate relationship with anybody, but it also included my trust with trusting people, having friends. It included all that at the same time. And that is pretty, that's pretty heavy as far as I'm concerned. When I think about it now, and I realize how, well, actually I think about it now, how daft it was that I even thought that. But then again, I have to fall back on what, why I felt like that, and how it affected me, to the point where it caused me problems in life later on, as I've just described, both in having a relationship and in trusting people, and I know trusting people is not necessarily sexuality, but it kind of goes hand in hand for what I'm talking about here, just so you can get an understanding of what I'm talking about. But anyway, back to sexuality. So basically, as I'm talking about how it affected me, well, when I was bounced around quite a bit, especially as a child, right into when I lost my virginity as a young teenager, that really, really set a lot of mass confusion to me, because things that were told to me, that well, which gave me misbelief. So what I mean by misbelief is, for example, I always believed that, for example, when somebody was intoxicated, or even if they weren't intoxicated, I'm just giving you an example, right? Or somebody told me they love me, for example, I didn't believe them, and because I was always on the belief that, well, one, they wouldn't stay with me, they would abandon me, and two, they only said it because, that I thought they felt they had to say it. When in reality was that some of these people I was with over the time, the thing was, they did, and I was just on defensive mode, and I didn't believe what they were saying. So basically, rather than believing what they said, I would basically leave, because I didn't trust them in that aspect I'm just talking about. So I know there's lots out there that can understand this, what I'm talking about, and I would definitely, I'm sure there's somebody out there who can relate to what I'm talking about, how that trust comes in. But it sure affected me greatly to, like I say, not just in intimate relationships, but it also affected my friendships as well, sexuality put aside. And it all falls back to, like I just stated a short time ago, about how my brain is wired for not trusting. And basically, it's my own false belief. And what I basically had to do to this point on, or rather from that point on when I figured it out, was I had to rewire myself, or to retrain myself to think that, well, just because somebody says that, whether it's just in, and I'm not talking about just in fun, or the person means it. Like, even a friend saying they love you, like, that would even freak me out. See, now that doesn't freak me out anymore. I know that it's genuine, especially if I know the individual. I know it's genuine, and it's, and it's from the heart, and, and I have to take it at that. I take it at face value, and I can't think that, okay, well, that person's pulling my eyes. The talk falls back to the trusting, How can I trust myself if I don't let others trust me, and vice versa? It's kind of like a two-way street here, right? So saying that, that's kind of how it affected me. And I know out there listening, if providing or broadcasting, geez, that it is, it'll affect you that way. And it's just too bad that does that to us. I'm really, really, I think about it now and how it affected me. I was just totally, totally, totally amazed. I think about it now, how it actually got a hold of me, and to the point where it controlled me, basically to the point where, well, it's almost like it's controlling me to the point where, I choose my friends who weren't my friends and who were going to be my friends. And if I wasn't going to allow anybody to be friends with me, or to allow anybody to come in, that means I'd have to drop the wall down and let them in. excuse me. And even to this day, I struggle deeply with that. I want to let people in, but I only go so far. I'm just not Now, if all falls back to that trust thing, and I know it's all stupid now, but I'm having a hard time letting go of that. And I guess that's basically where I'm right now. That's what I'm learning. One of my big tasks is I'm trying to learn to trust. You know, I've let all this other stuff go, but yet this thing is sort of hanging on to me. This one, I won't call it a little thing, but it's a big thing. To me, it's a big thing. And to me, it's so important in regards to me moving forward. And again, to me, it's being stuck, and that's what it is. I'm being stuck by telling you what I'm telling you. Once I let this go, then I'm actually going to have a chance at something. I might have a chance at a you know, not just at an intimate relationship, but actually actual friendship with somebody where I'll let somebody in where I can hang out with somebody, tell them my stuff, you know, if I want to, and not worry about them running away or me running away or whatever, right? I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say, but this is what it does to you, or rather it does to me anyway, and I've seen with other people how it basically does that. You have this huge trust issue like that, and you don't put up this wall, and that's it. That's all. No more. You know, and I think about all I've missed out on because of what I believe to be basically false. And to this day now, all I think about is what I basically lost because of that. You know, like I think of especially in the last one when I was I dated for well, it was I think a little bit off for almost 3 years. Like I threw the like I couldn't even put myself that way. I mean, I won't get into it, and I still feel horrible about it. But if I was in a better place, I'd probably still be with this person, you know. And that's unfair for me, as far as I'm concerned. And you could take it as you believe, but with those false beliefs I carry, it's put me in that position where, well, here I am now talking about it, you know, versus where I could be outside and looking at it in another way. But that's not the case, right? I'm here talking about it. I'm talking about my being vulnerable. I'm talking about my faults. I'm talking about, you know, about what happened to me, all related to my past sexual abuse, and which gave me all these false beliefs. And I wouldn't be at the gatehouse now. I wouldn't be at the gatehouse here now if I didn't believe that. You know, if I didn't believe that the gatehouse didn't do some good for me, for example, I wouldn't be sitting here right now talking about it. And I need to talk about this stuff more because people need to know and understand that this stuff happens, and nobody understands why. You know, especially anybody who hasn't any kind of therapy, or if you haven't shared this with your partner. I mean, how would they understand? You know, how would they understand? How would they be able to deal with you on the level that I'm talking about? And be able to reason with it that they won't run away versus you running away. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, like basically, like when I think about it, who would want to put up with someone like me? You know, no, don't get me wrong now. I'm not throwing a poor me thing here, pity me out. I'm talking about, well, if I'm carrying the attitude that I have and the thought where I'm going, in reality, I don't know anybody that would want to really hang around with that because of all the uncertainty. And never mind my trust in them, well, why would they trust me? Think about it. It's a two-way street here, right? It's not just one way. If you're with somebody and they don't understand where you're coming from, then that's what's going to happen, right? So I say to you know, you've got to kind of think what I'm talking about here. If you don't, then how can your partner ever understand or your friend ever understand where you're coming from? So you need to bring this stuff up like I'm talking about. See, I'm talking about this stuff now. I've never ever talked about it with anybody before, whether it be in an intimate relationship or with a partner. And it is totally, when I think about it now, no one. Now, if I ever get a chance to be involved with somebody again, I'm just gonna let it. I'm gonna just dump it all out. You know what? And then that person can make their choice whether they want to stay with me or not. And I totally get it because right now I'm amazed. I'm even talking about it. And I'm even sharing with you out there because you know I just can't carry this load on myself anymore. This is why I admire Matthew Eaton because of what he wrote in his blog. Like, wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. And the average person, unless you've been through that, and I'm sure there's lots of people out there can imagine that or been through that. And I'm talking about, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, so you know where I'm coming from. And it is, I don't know, it's just mind blowing to me that I'm even sitting here talking about it. And kind of has me in wonder. And the fact that I even have enough kahunas to sit here to even talk about it. But I know it has to be talked about because the big subject. And so I had to type something here, and it's good. I'm in there. I'm on there. Okay, good. Okay, I'm still broadcasting. That's a good thing too. Like I said, I told you I was going to be multitasking, as I wrote on my episode info here, that I was going to be doing this. I seem to be working, and I just don't want anyone to feel like I'm discrediting them or myself, because I'm not. I'm just a little bit frustrated because of all these technical difficulties that I've had in the last little while. But I think I've solved them. So I'm still broadcasting, and that's a good thing. But I'm okay. So I've been talking about myself a little bit. That's why I wish Deb was here, because we could have elaborated a little bit more on it. In fact, because I know when I get her to come in, or if we on Monday, we've just been so busy around the house here, we haven't really had much time. And I know she's been busy with doing other things too. She's going back to school for her become a therapist in anyway, to become a therapist. And her time now here at the house is a little bit shorter. And we meet here on Mondays to do group together, a phase two group, and which we've been talking about all along for the most part. But I wish she was here tonight to elaborate a little bit more with us on me. Okay, the sexuality part. So like I say, I've given you a few different examples of how it would hold me back, such as the intimate relationship, and hope you kind of get what I'm talking about. And like I say, I don't, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It'll affect you the same way as I'm talking about, because I've seen this time and time again, not just with myself, but with others. And well, there's a few, I have seen some that I haven't affected, but at the same time, I could see when they're where they struggle in a relationship because, well, one, they've talked about that they were violated as a child, but the other partner does not understand why the individual acts like they do sometimes. And kudos for them for sticking with their partner like that, especially considering some of the stuff that I've heard that they might have, I mean, the person could do. I don't know. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but I'm just throwing it out there just so you can get an idea. Again, it all falls back to that trust thing that I'm talking about, as like I've described for myself in regards to trust. I mean, well, that's huge, a huge, huge, huge thing. How do you begin to let those walls down? Well, there's one way you can do it, and or which I'm going to talk about. And for myself, what it's been for me to break those barriers down is we're letting other people in. Is what I've had to do is I've had to basically retrain myself to think that, well, never mind the other things I've talked about in regards to where my self-worth comes in and all that sort of stuff, but where I have to let my walls down. And if I'm with somebody, I have to be completely honest with them. Well, honest with them with that other person, so they get a good understanding. And I don't have to be graphic about it. I'm talking even with you out there, if you're listening. You don't have to be graphic with your person. You just tell them what's going on, and so they understand. So that if you do get triggered or something, and you behave a certain way, then they know what to then they know what to expect, and they realize that, well, they really don't mean that, whatever they're doing. And okay, you go and you help them ground them out, or this is where you got to talk to your partner. And that's why at the Gatehouse we have these partners groups. So you bring your partner in here, and they can understand where you're coming from. If you weren't sexually violated as a child, then you would have a, you'd have a hard understanding where that person is coming from. And that's where coming into the partners group here, which we provide at the Gatehouse, which we have another one coming up in a short next little while, where we're, I think we're gonna have, I don't know, probably gonna have about 40 people. It's gonna be a huge group anyway. between the four of us that are facilitating it. So that's good. The bigger the group, the better. But these partners groups are so important because then by having this, then we basically give them some tools to help you, you know, help you with your partner, even though you weren't violated like your partner was. What I mean by tools, we give you some tools on how to deal with your partner. Because how would you understand? Again, how would you understand if you know the person was violated and then they come here to the gatehouse and then they go through their phase one program, they go through the phase two program, and they're healing, they're changing, and they're basically finding out who they are again, but at the same time they're changing. You don't understand because their old habits or some of their habits that they used to put upon you are changing, and either they're weirding you out or you just don't understand. Well, by coming to the partners group, this is where we help you understand. Now, let me be quite clear. I'm probably one of the worst examples of someone you should. By the way, we don't give a relationship advice. That's not what it's about. It's being able to show your partner what's going on with you and what happened to you and give you a little bit better understanding so that if they say something or do something silly, then you'll have a better understanding. And that's so important if you want it to work. How can you be with somebody if you don't understand what's going on? You know, it's kind of all over the map. And that's the frustrating thing about it. It's just all over the map. And once you come and do this, then it's not all over the map. What I mean by all over the map is that when your thoughts are going from A to Z, and all it's done is left you in mass confusion, going, what the heck is he doing? Or what the heck is she doing? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, now you've gone for healing, and you're in a different state of mind now, and you're feeling better in many, many ways, and yet your partner doesn't understand what's going on with you. So that's why this partners thing comes in handy, and I'm just really, really honored that Art and Paul have asked me to help come and do this. Like I say, I'm probably one of the worst examples of someone. But anyway, I'm still here. I didn't lose connection. It doesn't look like it anyway. So I'm going to be going back and forth here like this. So I'm going to only broadcast a little while longer, and I want to make sure that I've learned through. I basically dumped myself as far as where I'm coming in regards to the sexuality part. I'm just more concerned that, in fact, that I actually broadcasted tonight and it didn't drop, although my internet connection did drop a couple times, but I did stay on air. So I'm curious to see when I'm done here, in fact, how it worked out. And it seems to be on, which is a good thing. So, yes, I'm still on. Okay, that's great. Okay, so like I said, I'm not going to be on too much longer. It's more of a test to see that I stayed on, and it looks like I'm staying on. So, and I've talked about this sexuality thing pretty much enough. I pretty much beat it over the head there enough. So, I don't know how much more I'm going to say about it. But I don't know if that, as far as I'm concerned, next week we're going to talk more about the phase two program. We're going into week number 9. So basically, July. Well, we only have like another 4 or 5 weeks left, and then Deb and I are going to start on the group again. And I know that I'm going to be doing a partners program coming up. I know Deb won't be. I don't know if Deb will be involved or not. She was with me in the last two. I can't say for this one coming up, but I know that myself, Art, and Paul will be doing it. And this whole sexuality thing, like, there's so much more to be said about it. But I know one thing, eventually, once I finally get all these bugs worked out, I'm going to probably make connection with somebody with a little bit more, well, a lot more experience, and where I can ask some questions. I mean, I got a pretty good idea what's going on from my experience here, but it'd be nice to talk with a therapist with a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more in-depth in far as understanding what's going on, aside from me just talking on a whim like I am right now, and what I've learned from the gatehouse and my own experience. Because, granted, you might be able to relate to a certain degree what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from, but there's still a few more few more things to pick through to so you understand. But now I'm going to briefly talk about what we talked about on Monday just passed in our group, when we basically played a video by Dr. Jeffrey Sports. If you go to YouTube and you type that in, and you go Dr. Jeffrey Sports, you are not your brain. You will see, you get an understanding of what I'm talking about in regards to what I'm talking about now. And it's about 29 minutes to 30 minutes long, and he gives you great insight on what's going on in your head. Like, for example, like if you're basically stuck in your little mode, like I've talked about or described many, many, many times. So you check that out, and or follow back to that term I used, neuroplasticity, and you get a better understanding why, especially the different parts of your brain, and where PTSD really kicks in. And anyway, if you go on there and you show and you see the stuff that Dr. Schwartz has put on there, Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz has put on there, you'll get a better understanding than me trying to explain it to you. Anyway, go to YouTube and you will find that. Anyway, so basically what we covered last week, we saw the video and then we talked about that. So it was interesting here how other participants could relate to being stuck in something in the past and not moving on, kind of like what I'm talking about with sexuality. So kind of see where that kind of going with this right now. There is a common, well, I won't say there's a commonality there, but you'll see where I'm going with it, meaning that when I talk about being stuck, well, that's why this neuroplasticity thing comes in while I'm talking about that now. And it's why I suggest you go to YouTube and watch Dr. Schwartz. But, okay, one thing I didn't say when I started off here, because I was kind of all over the map, because I didn't know whether I'm actually getting out or not getting out. First off, I'm only talking about peer support here. I'm not a therapist or a doctor or anything of the sort. I'm just purely giving my own observations, my own experiences, nothing more, nothing less. So if you are triggered or anything like that, then I suggest you seek professional help. Call a local helpline in your area, and get some help that way. But I am not a doctor or anything of the sort. I'm just offering peer support and my own experiences through the Gatehouse. I'm broadcasting live here from the Gatehouse, 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, Old Etobicoke, as I like to say. Because that's what it is, down here by Lakeshore, by Lake Ontario, Canada. And I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for your time. So I'm hoping that this actually got out there. I really don't know. So basically, I'm gonna hang up now or get offline and see what happens. So crossing my fingers that it worked all right, and wishing you all a good week. And we'll try this again next week, and hopefully I'll have Deb back, and hopefully I have no issues. So thank you for your time, and thank you for putting up with me, because this has been a really, really hard for me. I'm trying to put something out here that's actually viable and needed in the community and abroad, and I keep having these technical troubles. So for those of you who are listening and have listened and are still listening, thank you ever so much. So I'm going to bid you a good week, and thank you ever so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.